Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the world of health, whether it's research that makes the news, another miracle diet, or a new food fad. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Ultra-processed food has been in the news again. Sometimes it seems like it's just one constant news cycle, but in reality, this look at the foods that we eat extends over several research papers published in the last few months. I read the press releases as well as several articles by health columnists. I found and read the actual research papers and other supporting research. I've narrowed it down to just a few questions about ultra-processed foods. Now, let's see what I found to the questions that I asked. Let's begin with a working definition of ultra-processed foods. Ultra-processed foods are substances extracted from foods that are altered chemically or mechanically, combined with flavor enhancers and other additives, and formed into consumer products that are highly palatable. What are the key words in that definition? Let's take a look at them. Altered chemically can mean a natural process like using water or enzymes typically found in the body, or using chemicals like alcohol, vinegar, or other chemicals to extract the desired substance. Mechanically altered can mimic the type of action in chewing or drying the food and chopping it up using some sort of blade or grinder. Flavor enhancers can run the gamut from sweeteners to artificial flavors. Additives can be binders to keep the new shape, or preservatives like citric acid to prevent spoilage. The problem is that the finished products are usually high in calories and appeal to every taste sensation humans possess, but especially salty, sweet, and umami. Now, before I continue, I have to try to define umami. Believe me, everyone knows it when they taste it, but getting a handle on it seems elusive. So if we look at the Merriam-Webster definition, it is the taste sensation that is produced by several amino acids and nucleotides, such as glutamate and aspartate, and has a rich or meaty flavor characteristic of cheese, cooked meat, mushrooms, soy, and ripe tomatoes. The Wikipedia definition adds the terms savory or savoriness characteristic of soups or broths. Now, beyond that, there are no words that accurately define it. I just know it when I taste it, and you probably do too. Because it's a desirable taste sensation, it can make foods seem addictive. Back to ultra-processed foods. The manufacturing techniques themselves can change the structure of the original component and include extrusion, molding, and pre-processing by frying. Simply stated, ultra-processed foods are designed to be irresistible to eat and to keep eating. So the first question I had is simple. Do ultra-processed foods in the diet contribute to an increase in calorie intake? The answer is yes. Population studies of nutritional intake have demonstrated that westernized countries where ultra-processed foods are available result in additional caloric intake when compared with people who have low intakes of ultra-processed foods. These studies are based on food frequency questionnaires, which, as I say repeatedly, are not my favorite way to analyze diets. However, the increase in caloric intake in well-controlled studies where people are offered an ad lib ultra-processed food diet versus a low ultra-processed food diet demonstrated that people will eat up to 500 calories more per day on the ultra-processed foods than having a diet that doesn't contain ultra-processed foods. It seems clear that eating ultra-processed foods can result in eating a whole bunch of extra calories. Next question to consider with ultra-processed foods is this. Do you absorb more calories from ultra-processed foods than you would from minimally processed food? The answer appears to be yes, but requires some explanation. Keep in mind that ultra-processed foods have been mechanically and chemically altered during the manufacturing process. The original grains of wheat, corn, or even something like carrots bear no resemblance to its original form. The components, especially the fiber, has been decimated. So, what's the big deal? Well, the normal chemical bonds that make up the food matrix are no longer in the same form as they were. Therefore, they require less digestion and can be potentially absorbed much faster, starting in the small intestine. Now, that can mean a couple of things. The higher the proportion of ultra-processed food in the diet, the more calories from carbohydrates can enter the bloodstream faster. Blood sugars increase more quickly. The extra calories can be converted into fat for storage if they are not used. It also means that the food that could have fed our microbiome is no longer present. We've got plenty of calories, but our microbiome is starving. What nutrients are missing? Primarily fiber and resistant starch. What does it resist? Digestion and absorption. Those probiotics that make up the microbiome, that's their food, and without it, our microbiome is starving and not as healthy as it could be. So this all leads to a final question in my mind. Is a calorie still just a calorie? Many today would probably say, no, it isn't. The body doesn't make more calories from the foods that we eat than they contain. If there were a study on a group of overweight people on a calorie-restricted diet, one following the high ultra-processed food diet, while the other a low ultra-processed food diet with more fiber and other nutrients, we could see if there were differences in weight loss and other health markers between the two groups. If that were done, then we would find out whether there really are any differences in the type of calories we can absorb. I said more than once in a Straight Talk on Health podcast, and when it comes to losing weight, it was, it is, and it will always be about the calories. See, I always go back to the Minnesota starvation diet. In that study, the subjects were given only the foods that would be available after World War II in war-ravaged Europe. Plain bread, potatoes and other root vegetables, little to no protein, and very little fat. Normal weight men lost weight and continued to do so for the entire 6 months of the study. If it is just about the calories, then substituting ultra-processed foods for the starvation diet and adjusting it on a weekly basis would get the same results today. I don't see that study happening in normal weight subjects, but in overweight and obese subjects, sure. Because as of this date, calorie restriction is not considered harming an individual who does need to lose weight. Even though the clinical trials have had a low number of subjects, they have given us something important. Ultra-processed foods expose us to more calories because we crave them and we eat more of them. They are also absorbed sooner, and while they haven't demonstrated that results in eating more of the ultra-processed foods, the result is starving our microbiome that resides in our large intestine. That alone may have more of an impact than we realize at this point in time. So the research will continue, and I'll stay on top of it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and every day.